Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
So far in this season of the podcast, we have learned that casting your cares on the Lord doesn't work unless your soul is convinced that He cares. And so we're taking several podcasts to just establish from God's Word how much God really cares about you and about your anxieties and things going on in your life. Today's podcast, we're just going to take a quick look at Psalm 139. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with You. The ability to know what God's thoughts are is precious beyond words to us. But even more precious is the fact that He even has thoughts about us. Did you know that God thinks about you individually, specifically? Spurgeon said he once knew a man who constantly boasted because King George IV once spoke to him. Now, all he did was told him to get out of the road. But still, he spoke to him. King George IV spoke to this guy. And it was such a feather in this guy's cap to have been noticed, even though it was momentarily, by King George IV. God takes notice of you and He thinks about you. Now, what is the significance of that? When we tell a person, you'll be in my thoughts, we expect that to be an encouragement. Why is that encouraging? What's encouraging about that? Well, it's a way of saying, I care about you, right? I care about you. Because you think about the things that matter to you. You don't think about things that don't matter to you. So the fact that God would have us in His thoughts means that you're in His heart. He's thinking about you. He cares. And how much does He care? How much does He think about you? Verse 17. How precious are Your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. It's amazing that God would have any thoughts about me at all, much less thoughts more numerous than the grains of sand about me. God thinks more about me than I think about me. And that's really saying something. All night last night, while you were asleep, not even capable of thinking about your own well-being, God was. In between the thoughts that you have about God, in that interval of time when you had zero thoughts about God, during that interval, He had countless millions of thoughts about you. Now, compare all that to our culture's lame, ridiculous conception of an impersonal God. Their God is not even capable of thought. It's not even up to the level of a dog. What a horrible thing it would be if that were true. What a cold, dead world it would be if everything were just impersonal machinery. And what an utterly useless God that would be. But the reality is God can think, and He thinks about you, which is a great truth, because we all love being remembered, right? And being thought of. It's a terrible thing when it feels like you're just forgotten by everybody. And no one cares what's happening in your life. People get so encouraged. You know, if you send them a card, you send them a little note, you send them an email, or you write a prayer for them and send that. They're so encouraged because it's good to be remembered by another human being. What an incredible thing it is then to be remembered by God. For some people, again, this isn't encouraging. This whole psalm, it's not encouraging because of their conception of God. They have a negative conception. They think He's a hard master who's impossible to please. And so they think all of God's thoughts about them must be thoughts of disapproval and disgust and anger. They don't want to think about God thinking about them because they think He must not like what He thinks. They can't imagine God thinking about them and enjoying those thoughts at all. They don't realize that the eyes of love look past inadequacies and take delight in what's good. The way a parent looks at a child. When your little baby takes his very first steps, what's your reaction? I mean, do you look at that and say, oh, brother, what a lame attempt. Wobbly, slow, directionless, three steps, fell down, ended in total failure. I'm going to give him a spanking. No. We get all excited, right? We're taking videos, post them online, calling your spouse. He took his first steps. And you're impressed, even though it's not much of a display. That's why kids love being watched by their parents. They love it. Why? Because their parents are the only ones that seem to appreciate their little kid-sized victories. Right? I remember when I was in elementary school, I was probably in first or second grade, at recess, every recess, we'd all go out in this big parking lot and play this giant game of soccer. It was like 50, 60, 70 kids playing this huge game of soccer, 20, 30, 40 balls going all at once. Everybody brought balls. And it was... I loved it. I thought I was so good at it because I could always score a goal. And one day, I remember when my mom was walking by the school. She was walking down to the grocery store and past the school. And I saw her through the chain link fence and I yelled, hey, Mom, watch this. I'm going to score a goal. I started all the way on one end and I went through this huge mass of the opposition, just plowed my way all the way through them and scored a goal. Now, did I end up scoring the goal with the same ball that I started with? No. Did anyone on the other side actually play any defense? No. Was it the most impressive athletic display my mom had ever witnessed? Probably not. But she was happy for me. She seemed impressed. And it was so pleasurable for me to have her watch me do that, that memory has stayed in my mind all these years, which is very unusual. I have very, very few memories from that age. But that struck me. Kids love to be watched by a parent who's genuinely happy about their little kid-sized victories. And God made parents that way on purpose. Why? To teach us what He's like in the way He watches us. Learn to love being watched and remembered and thought about by a God who delights in your little creature-sized victories. He loves you. And so when He thinks about you, those thoughts in His mind are enjoyable to Him. So we see God as the mastermind. We see the self-revealing God. We see the God who enjoys thinking about His children. What else? How about God as our constant companion? Verse 18, when I awake, I'm still with you. Isn't that beautiful? When I awake, I'm still with you. You ever open your eyes after having been asleep and you open your eyes only to see your spouse smiling at you? Maybe just in a moment of affection, they were just enjoying watching you sleep. You really have to love someone a lot to enjoy watching them sleep. No matter, I mean, it's just not very exciting. But no matter how much you love someone, even if you do, that does happen to you, you're probably not going to watch them sleep all night. Right? You'll get bored after a while. And so most of the time when you wake up, nobody is there looking at you. You wake up and you're just alone. They're not paying attention to you. You're all alone, humanly speaking. But the reality is God is always right there attending to you the moment you wake up. As His children, we always wake up in His presence. The only question is, are we aware of it? A great goal to have in life is to get to the point where you wake up every morning in the presence of God, alert to the presence of God. So many times we're awakened in the morning battling sin right off the bat, right? I mean, just right off. It's like Samson waking up and with the Philistines already upon him, and he has to fight the second he wakes up. That's how it is for us, right, with our enemy. He's upon us. Thoughts of worry and lust and pride and anger or folly or trivia or whatever. You're barely awake, and all of a sudden the enemy, he's just all over you. Sometimes some of the fiercest battles, spiritual battles that we face are our first waking moments in the day. And so what a comfort to know God is there. If we could only train our hearts to look to Him and His glory at our first impulse as soon as we wake up.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.